Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan Dubose, CPA. Dan, you're on the line already, I believe.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, great. I apologize for the delay. We were struggling with a loose cable, as it turned out, here in Bangkok. So we got it worked out, and we're ready to go. And I think we've got a pretty full show today. We're going to start off talking about the last week's news on inflation and price of gas and things like that. Some conflicting information that we're seeing reported out there. And in any event, I want to come back again to Roth conversions. I've had, half a dozen questions this past week where as many times as I explain it, I obviously am not doing a good job, because I keep getting questions questioning, well, you know, how do we pay less than, in most cases, 50% of what somebody that's got their money invested in the market might pay in the conversion tax? So we'll go through that in a little bit more detail once we can cover a few news articles. And I guess before we get that far, let me just remind you, as usual, that as we talk about ways to increase your financial freedom, in fact, I'm going to suggest it's twice the financial freedom that Self-Made Millionaires platform discusses. And I heard a little bit of that show before I started today, and I've got some comments, as you might expect, about that amateur tax advice that you hear. In any event, just because we talk about these strategies and how we apply them with many of our clients, that doesn't mean that you should run out and go invest in these real estate private partnership syndications until you consult with your own financial advisors that understand your specific facts and circumstances to make sure that they're valid options for you. And they may or may not be. And I know I have that discussion often. People call in after they hear our show. And in some cases, you know, it's not a good fit. And so I'll tell you that. We don't need your money. Dan and I are both old. We need our time. And we want happy clients. Correct, Dan?
That's right.
Don't mind paying our exorbitant invoices. Those are the kind we need. And the reason they don't mind is because we're their low-cost option. They just may not know it yet. And so it's up to us to explain that. Dan, let's talk about the article that you pointed out to me this past week. It's from a group. Well, I'll let you explain the origin and what the perspective is, et cetera, if you'd like to proceed.
Yeah, thank you. I've read for several years silver and gold talk from a man that's in Tennessee. He goes by the name Money Changer, and he is a very conservative writer, speaker. He's even an ordained Episcopal minister, which gives him a lot of credibility, in my opinion, as far as his veracity is concerned. He points out, of course, the gold, silver price, because that's what his main business is. His name is Franklin Sanders, just a fine man, but from his writing, I've never met him personally, but I love his writing because he's comical, he's to the point, and has a little love in all his letters, it just appears to me. he says the Fed is trapped. Talking about the Federal Reserve System, the Federal Reserve Bank is trapped because they're, you know, the U.S. government, at the end of 2021, according to the article that he references, the GDP ratio was 120%. The U.S. government debt to GDP was 120%. And we've got, you know, that's with interest rates running about 3% or so, we still got that kind of debt. And what's going to happen, and that's about, it's going up. Interest rates are going up, which means we're going to have even a greater debt to equity ratio, debt to GDP ratio, I guess I should say.
Yeah, because we're going to be borrowing to pay it.
That's right. You got to borrow more to pay it.
Right, increase borrowings to pay the debt service, I presume, is what he's referring to.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's talking about. And, you know, he's alluding to the fact that the government, the Fed's not really telling it like it is when they're talking about inflation going down. It sounds like to me it's going up. It's not going to do anything but get more expensive to live, to exist. In fact, there was another article I read from Pew Research. He said the U.S. inflation rate has almost quadrupled over the last 2 years. But in the rest of the world, it's even worse. You know, Israel has got, in that same period, has got a 25 times inflation rate increase. I mean, it's just amazing around the world what's happened with inflation.
Sure.
We've got it pretty good, even at just the 5 times or 4 or 5 times
increase. I was just going to say that appears to be the case. Hey, Dan, hold that thought. Let's come back and talk more about this article, and I want to talk about the price of gas dropping so much this past week or so, and look at the impact overall on inflation. Why isn't inflation dropping collaterally? And we'll talk about that when we get back. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be back with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan and Dan today.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPA. And Dan, just before we left, you were getting ready to give us some details on an article that you'd picked up talking about inflation and assorted other Fed activities that feed into that, I suppose we could say. But anyway.
Yeah, I was just, you know, talking about a Pew report where they have, you know, talking about inflation around the world being so much higher than even what we're experiencing here in the U.S. Another thing is talking about interest rates going up in the U.S. because the budget deficit be even higher than what has been budgeted already or been projected. You know, we've already, they were talking about a article I read was talking about only a 300 basis. That's 3% increase, 3.00% increase in the budget. I'm sorry, the interest rate would increase the budget deficit from a 7% deficit to a 11% deficit. And the article went on to say all since 1991, this is, I'm going to quote from it, said, since 1991, all 18 other governments with deficits exceeding 11% of GDP and debt to GDP ratios exceeding 110%, and we're already at 120 plus as of the end of December 21.
Yeah, that percentage, I see various points of view. I know David McKnight, I think he says we'll be at basically that rate by 2032, maybe. I don't know. I see anywhere from 100 and, well, you mentioned 120%. I've seen people that say, hey, we're at 137% at the end of 2021. I'm not sure what they're looking at, but I can tell you this. We're not back in the 60 and 70% range, which is where we were when Paul Ryan issued the report. I think it was back in 2009, that said, you know, we need to double our tax rates. It wasn't Paul Ryan, by the way. I'm sorry. It was the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, that projected we need to double our tax rates back then over the next few years. Well, now we're sitting out here where we're probably double the percent of public debt to GDP. And does it appear to be any move to increase taxes? Yeah, there is. So we can go buy a bunch of green technology, which, you know, the green technology is a great thing, but I'm going to remind you what Ron Paul, you're old enough to remember Ron Paul, right, Dan? Our former congressman of Pasadena and Baytown area where Dan was going to high school, right? And, you know, I'll never forget him being on the debate stage back when I can't remember who was running that year. If it was, I think it was George Bush Sr., if I'm not mistaken, and then assorted other. There were seven or eight Republicans on the stage, and the debate moderator went from one to one and said, hey, what was the most important plan you would execute if you were elected president? And I don't remember all the personalities, but they were the old rhino crowd for the most part. And they came to Ross Perot last because he was not seriously considered a likelihood, right? And, I guess it was George Bush Sr. because Perot's the one that ended up cannibalizing so much of his vote. But anyway, all of them, it's like Ross Perot said, you know what, George Bush, you've got a great idea, whatever it was, I think strengthening the military or whatever. And I forget who the others were, but he applauded each one of them. And then he stopped and said, okay, I just got one question for you. Who's going to pay for it? Have you noticed we're running out of money now and we're borrowing way past, you know, the point of sanity, right? And that hadn't changed. It's kept going. And even when his son, Rand Paul, recently on the vote to aid Ukraine pointed out that, hey, why is it our role to have to go borrow more money to bail out these other nations? Why don't they go borrow it, right? And, of course, I think we know the answer to that. But in any event, I just find it amazing that we just keep pushing, you know, putting our foot on the pedal and racking up trillions more debt than we had back then. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you, Dan. Go.
Yeah, you know that debt you're talking about back there when Dr. Paul was running, Dr. Ron Paul was running, that election you're talking about, the deficit was only about, what, $4 or $5 trillion rather than.
I don't know. It couldn't have been much more than that because we've doubled it at least twice under Obama and Bush, if I remember correctly. That's close to that. But
I remember an article I read a long time ago. It was talking about what the deficit was, and it was like $4 trillion at the time. And this was, looking at the same article that referenced the war on poverty. You know, our native son, Lyndon Baines Johnson, put that war on poverty on the United States. And, you know, that war on poverty had spent a total of about $4 trillion to get the war, to get the U.S. out of poverty. And that's what the deficit was at the time, $4 trillion. So that's an expensive experiment that that war on poverty that has happened in the last 40, 50 years. It's very expensive. It's part of the inflation that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and it's, again, relative to the debt and the way it's going to accelerate. I mean, I don't know really. All I can say is I know it's going to be increasingly higher. I don't know that we're ever going to get to Japan's level. I think Japan is 300% of GDP, I believe. And I don't know. We may, because people, our representatives, our elected representatives, don't seem, at least enough of them, seem to understand that we can't just keep printing money. In fact, a lot of them believe we can keep printing money, the modern monetary policy theory. And yet, I would say what we're going through right now is living proof that you can't just flood the economy with dollars and everything's going to work out well, right? And so I don't know. Dan, what else did they note in the article? Did we talk about gas prices at all? And I assume, you know, the news that I see from America on everybody's high-fiving, you know, Buttigieg made the rounds this past week, high-fiving, I guess, himself on having dropped the price of gas down to below 4% in some cases. I think Texas was under $4 in some cases. What was Texas, like $3.97 or $3.79?
My Shell station where I go regularly is right at $4. I think it was $3.99 was their signpost today, as a matter of fact, for the lowest level, $3.99.9. So that's, you know, a tenth of a penny, a tenth of a dollar less than $4. So it's there.
Well, the problem is that we've got an international oil and gas market. It's not just national. And I think Europe, if I read right, their prices came down a bit too, but I don't know that that's going to be permanent, and I don't know that the U.S. I mean, I read where the demand in the U.S., believe it or not, was almost as high as it was pre-COVID. And so that's obviously impacted the price of oil, but or the price of gas, and I guess the price of oil. But anyway, okay, well, let's pivot for a minute and talk about some, well, speaking of, you know, inflation, et cetera, did you notice that, just so we realize we're not the only ones, you know, patting each other on the back, did you see the Russian central bank cut their key interest rate by 1.5% from 9.5% down to 8%? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't our sanctions supposed to be hurting that same country with, you know, keeping them out of the international markets, being able to sell product, et cetera? I mean, that's crazy. We're the ones raising the Fed key interest rate right over here. And, you know, I guess Russia, what I understand from just limited reading is that their economy looks great, but it's only, I mean, it's like they're benchmarking against themselves. They're not really benchmarking against the international community. They're you know, they're cut off. I guess they're what would be referred to as a pariah, an economic pariah. But when they compare how their economy's doing and demand, it's really just with internal. They're not really looking at what's going on around the world. And of course, they really are still making massive, massive revenues off of their gas, oil and gas. And so I don't know, but I think it looks like our Fed will continue going the other way. And I guess, you know, we're getting slapped from several different perspectives. I mean, you just mentioned the percentage of debt to GDP. That's going to skyrocket. It's going to continue to skyrocket. And hasten the day.
There's no doubt that it will increase just because of the rate. The Fed rate has increased. You know, banks are doing well, according to the stock market guys looking last week. They did really well. The bank stocks were up considerably, you know, for the week anyway. They were up well.
Yeah. Did you see the proposal? I'm trying to see who it was. One of our congressmen or senators, I believe it was just yesterday. Let me see if I can find this article. It's like my head did a double take. It's like, what? You know, what are they thinking? And, of course, the Wall Street Journal's published articles on this, and I can't remember who it was, but they said that would be the best way to fight inflation, is let's go raise taxes. And I don't know. I don't understand that logic. But again, Forbes and the Wall Street Journal both, not last week, but earlier this year, indicated that, you know, Biden has already urged Congress to do this, and they've kind of debunked the credibility of that article or that suggestion. You know, they say at least in theory, rising taxes could ease inflation, but not necessarily for the reason that Biden suggested, and they wouldn't have an immediate impact in any event. But they could slow inflation by reducing consumer demand for goods and services. Is that what we want, I guess? I mean, it seems to me it's counterproductive to keeping GDP high, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We need production. Anyway. We need U.S. production. We need that. We need the chip plant here in the U.S. of A. We need to bring all that back to Ohio, where they, you know, Intel's got a big deal going up there. They're trying to get pushed through Congress to get the money funded for creating those jobs. And that, I mean, that's a great start right there to get a bunch of work back here to this country.
No, that's exactly right. Hey, let's go ahead and take our second break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about a survey involving multifamily apartments, which is the area that we tend to focus on. And then let's get into reasons again, why to do the Roth conversion, how to do it, and the impact on the rest of your life if you choose to do so. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Smash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously. Do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Me and my Bobby, yeah.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPAs. And Dan, let's talk about real quick an article here. I think this was on Globe Street. I may have gotten it from a different source. Unfortunately, I didn't clip the source, but by a person named Lynn Pollack. Apartment sales fell as the cost of equity and debt financing increased in July, according to the latest data from the National Multifamily Housing Council. But demand still remains strong in most markets relative to supply, which we've certainly seen. But we've also seen the issue that you know, the article leads off with, which is the financing issue. And we've seen several deals that did not get to the finish line on closing, in part due to that. But in any event, what is amazing, in my estimation, is that year-to-date through June, there's been $93 billion worth of sales, which is pretty strong given the lack or the inability in many cases to get financing. It is below the pace set during 2021. That was a record, and I had forgotten this if I knew it, $222.3 billion worth of sales through the first 6 months. Is that not remarkable, Dan?
That is remarkable.
That's a lot of units, and you know, if you have a calculator handy, if we divide, I don't know, on average, what are you thinking, Dan, 125 to 150 would be a good number per door that these guys would have had to pay.
Yeah, 125.
I think my calculator will do this many decimal or digits. If I've got it in right, I've got 9 2s. So let's. I think that's 222 billion divided by let's say 150,000, just to kind of be clear. Well, let's see, that I'm off a zero. I believe that's, 148,000 units. I'm not sure. It's a lot of units though. That's what I'm going to say. I struggle with the math cause you remember I'm just a caveman accountant. So I got to check these things more than a few times, but bottom line is last year was amazing. And in any event, I think the projection moving forward is that the second half of the year is going to be a lot less active than the same period in 2021 due to this spike in debt costs. So, you know, as we look at transactions, we are keenly aware and try to mention that most transactions these days are getting financed. How, Dan, how would you describe it? You've been in the apartment business.
I didn't understand your question, Nathan. I'm sorry.
Well, what type of debt's being used to acquire most of these properties here in the last year? What have we seen? It's more of a temporary type. It's not agency debt with 10-year terms. It's
hard
more along
debt.
The lines of, I'm sorry? Say again?
The hard money debt you're talking about, short term?
Well, I don't know that I'd use the word hard money. Maybe if you're talking about a single family. I'm referring to bridge debt. It's a temporary form of debt. Typically 3-year term. The interest rates more and more are variable unless you want to pay down some additional money to fix it. And then, of course, you've got the 2 1-year extensions, which, you know, the syndicators always refer to that as, oh, you know, it gives us great flexibility. Yeah, at a 1% fee for each of those 1-year extensions. So, you know, you talk about $100 million loan, that's $1 million is coming out of you and your partner's pocket. So if you think of that as flexibility, well, then you're going to like your options right now. I don't. I think about it as, what is our special story about this project that's going to allow us to bump elbows with all the other deals that are coming home 3 years from now that are looking for a way to get financed? And you're all competing for a limited amount of money. It's not just because your 3-year term is up doesn't mean you automatically are accepted as a refinance prospect. There's got to be a reason. You know, why is this property better or worse than the other choices? Because some people are going to have to engage on the extensions, and then some people may even have to restructure and take on more equity to get the loan-to-value ratio down, because that's what's going to be offered to them. And to pay off the first loan, they're going to have to put some equity dollars with the new loan dollars. But anyway, I don't think there's any question this article pretends of what our concerns have been. And, you know, I think there's a reference here. Let's see. Somewhere in this article it talks about agency, how many borrowers even had the option of agency versus you know, the bridge. And I'm pretty sure it was like a 5% to 95% ratio, where most borrowers don't even have the luxury of considering a longer, say, a 10-year term agency type loan. In any event, okay, let's pivot. Let's talk about Roth conversions. And I want to just say, as I normally do, I like listening to the show in front of ours, Self-Made Millionaires platform, because if you ever want to know what not to do, listen to them about what they recommend doing. And then you're probably closer to the truth. When it comes to tax and significant economic discussion, and Dan, I don't know if you had a chance to listen a bit there towards the end today when, and I forget which of the prognosticators was in the chair today. They rotate between two or three folks. But the guy that was talking about was making it sound like that 9 or 10% inflation was the end of the world, and that literally, you know, this represented their major reason to get out of the market and invest in real estate. And these are coming from the same folks that have no problem at all telling you to unload. You want to talk about purchasing power and the way it affects your dollars, your family's dollars. How about sending 30 to 40% of your family's net worth to the IRS to liquidate your 401 or IRA accounts to invest in real estate private partnerships to get started? And that's not the worst part. That's in, even when they understand there's a better option. And how do I know they understand? Because I've had discussions with Self-Made Millionaire himself, hours on the phone, trying to make him understand. And I know they understand. There's obviously other reasons why they would suggest you do this. But you're worried about a mere 9% drop in purchasing power when over the next 30 years, if you give up 30 to 40% of your family's net worth, you're giving away literally $20 to $25 million, depending on how well you would have invested that $95,000 on a $350,000 liquidation. It's a lot of money. And I don't care what assumption you want to use on rate of return. I use 20%. I use Self-Made Millionaire's current pitch, which is, you know, you'll make between 10 and 30% per year. You've heard it on the radio. Compounded over the next period of time, the rest of your life. Well, okay, I'll take the midpoint. I run these 401 math illustrations that we offer, which, by the way, if you want to see that, you can go to our website. You can see the generic case there at the bottom of the homepage. It's beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And if you'll go to the trouble of completing the intake forms, which you can access at the link at the top of the page, I'll be happy to produce a custom version to fit your facts and circumstances. But the bottom line is $20 to $25 million in extra wealth in your family's back pocket.
Potentially if you, extra wealth.
I'm sorry, say again, Dan?
Potentially extra wealth.
Well, that's right. I mean, it assumes you invest it correctly, but I'll tell you what it doesn't assume. It doesn't assume that you've given $95,000 to the IRS on day one. And if you can achieve the results that they brag about on the air, which, by the way, I think you can. I've seen it with many of my clients that are members of that platform and others. It's the asset space that matters. I believe absolutely you can achieve it. But if you can, doesn't it make you wonder why they don't suggest you execute the 401 trust strategy? And then we go further. We don't just execute the 401 trust strategy. We're going to do what we're going to talk more about when we come back from the break. We're going to help you convert your money to tax-free throughout the next few years optimally, so that you've got the benefit of tax-free income, not tax-deferred, which is what they're preaching, although they won't admit that. That's the reality. So in any event, we'll be right back, and we're going to pick up with what a Roth conversion is, why you want to do it, and how we do it. We'll be right back.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't going to take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program is coming up very shortly.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. Longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and vague dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and vague dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan and Dan. That would be Dan DuBose, CPA. And Dan, you had asked me on the break, I was just trying to respond, that was $93 billion year to date. So pretty impressive. But of new multifamily transactions. Are you going to correct the calculation for me? I was looking at 22. I can probably handle the 93 billion one, but anyway, if you want to update us on that, that's fine. Okay, Roth conversions, and let's see here. I've got a question that just popped up. Let me see if this is something I can answer quickly. Okay, great. So question is, this is a good question. It kind of feeds into Roth conversions in a way. The question is, when you have a sizable increase in active income, so not passive income, is there a way to offset the tax burden with real estate and then collaterally rental real estate? And I'll tell you the answer is with most things under the tax code. Dan, you want to answer that question or you want me to take it? Or you want to tag
team? You take it.
Okay. The question is, how do we get income characterized or losses characterized as active, because only active income or losses, well, active losses can offset active income. So let's assume you're a realtor, perhaps, where you've sold a bunch of properties this year. You've got 1099 income. So the question is, how do you get to claim that income or reduce that income with losses from your rental properties? And that's a tricky calculation. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Are there some pretty tight rules as to who actually qualifies? You better believe it. And if you're investing in passive real estate partnership syndications, which is in large measure what we focus on, you have to be more than just a passive investor where you provided capital. So you would have to have some role in the day-to-day operations, be it reviewing prospects for leases, reviewing reporting. There's a number of things, and I mean for the partnership, not for your own account, right, that you might have invested. And in that case, and this, of course, be money that's invested outside of your retirement accounts. So let's assume you had money from a money market account that you invested. And so in that case, you would conceivably qualify to offset the losses generated on that ownership and that real estate private partnership against your commission income on your realtor commissions. Now, that said, there are other things, like, for instance, setting up a 401 trust where you can make pre-tax deductible contributions. And before you get off into the weeds from self-made millionaires program where they denounce the concept of contributing to a 401, they don't understand. We're not talking about the traditional failed experiment that the big company has for your 401. We're talking about a self-directed model where you control your bank accounts. You decide who, when, where, how much to invest. You stroke those checks and invest with whoever you care to, or you feed yourself. If you want to start taking distributions, you could do it at any point in time. And will you pay tax? Of course you will. Will you pay penalty if you're under 59 and a half, which is what they're saying to do with the whole amount? We're saying, hey, just on that sliver, you got to be prepared to pay tax and penalty. So again, the ability to reduce your current year taxes, if you're knocking down $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year, pre-tax is obviously a consideration because it's going to give you a significant deduction. The maximum contribution is $67,500 this year for 2022, and that can be obviously a nice chunk against reducing those the taxable income from the and that's the income tax portion from the self-employment income. The self-employment tax, FICA and Medicare, you still have to pay tax on, just like you do when you make your contribution to the big company 401k plan. So that's how I would answer that. And then beyond that, there's other things. Obviously, we can buy a new vehicle. We can pay for assorted continuing education, et cetera. I'm assuming someone that's in the league of what we're talking about here would already be savvy to those deductions. But, hey, feel free to consult with us if you want to engage and have us undertake a look-see at what else you might be able to do. Okay, Roth conversion, because we're running out of time here. The beautiful thing about doing Roth conversions for those of us that have self-directed 401ks is that we have the ability to value the piece. We don't have to do the whole amount. We could do $25,000, for instance, out of one transaction, or all of it. Let's say we invested $100 in one transaction, or we can do several transactions. It's based on a dollar amount. We delineate the dollar amount, Dan, that we want to calculate tax on. And what's the relative discount to the amount we invested that we might expect to pay tax on. It's much lower, correct? And why is that?
50%? Maybe even
I would
more.
Say, yeah, I would say you start maybe in the 30% range and could scale up to as much as 70. Depends on where that property's at in the quest. Yeah, it's depends on where we're at in the quest to raise NOI and make it more likely that we can refinance or that we can sell. And, of course, you know, we're looking at the list of 20 to 25 risk that are reflected in every private placement memorandum on every transaction you'll ever invest in. If you're a non-accredited, the PPM or private placement memorandum is not required on a 506C transaction, although they are provided in most cases. But in any event, whether they are or not, the same risk apply, and you can look at one of your other private placements and see generally what those 20 to 25 items are. And by the time you realize that lack of marketability is probably a 20 to 25%, that's a big one. Lack of majority controls, another 20 to 25%. And these ranges, I'm not telling you go out and make those calculations and DIY it on your own. We're looking at tax court cases that have resolved in the past year or two or three, and we're looking at the reasons that the IRS either settled or lost to apply those to current transactions. And you may be in a transaction that it's got a lower discount. But bottom line is, when you add the 20 to 25 up, and most of the others are much less, they're lower. They're not anywhere near that same range. They might be a quarter of a point or a half a point, much less. But collectively, it's somewhere in the 50 to 70% range typically. And I want you to understand, you can't do that when your money's sitting at Schwab or Fidelity. You can do a conversion. But how often does Apple drop 70% or AT&T or most other things? I guess there are stocks that have done that, certainly, and that's too bad. That means you're converting when it truly has lost value. In the real estate sector, we don't think these transactions lose value. We don't think they're all that risky compared to, like, buying our own home. We got many of the same risk. And so, Dan, it effectively gives us a calculation that's much lower. And just walk us through basically how, and we've only got a couple minutes, how that conversion would take place, Dan.
So you got $100,000 coming from your IRA to your 401k trust. Yeah, the value, because you've got that $100,000 you're going to put into a PPM private placement, you might get that 50%. So instead of $100,000 being taxed on your income tax return for that year, you'll get a $50,000 if it's 50%. If it's a 70% deduction, you get a $3,000 taxable income. And figure your tax on that lower rate.
That's right. So
it's a big tax savings can be from a Roth to convert.
It sure is. And it's a big weapon in your quest to maintain your purchasing power. That's some downside risk coverage there, right? I mean, even if the thing went to zero, you've lost much, much less money. Not that I've seen any go to zero, but I'm just trying to put the math out there where, you know, it's significant downside risk abatement protection compared to what you might be used to. Okay, well, I'm getting the word in my ear that we're down to about a minute here. So let me just say again, any of you that would like to consider working with us, helping you with general tax planning or very specific tax planning such as Roth conversions, feel free to go to our website, beaplanner.com, BEAPLANNER. Fill out the intake forms, schedule a call. There's a link right there next to the intake form link, and we'll be happy to discuss with you how these strategies can apply to your facts and circumstances, and what a great time to get out of the treadmill that is the market, the stock market. Okay, enjoyed the show this week as usual. We've got a syndication mass show tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. On the same station. AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.